Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 5th January 2021. It's a Tuesday. So we'll be continuing with our first Tuesday class of the year. We will continue from this book, The Essence of the Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are on page 71, so we will continue from there. And there is a stanza from the chapter 1 of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, which is the section on virtue. So this one refers to the great beings, the Bodhisattva. The subtitle is, they can comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearances of reality, existent or non-existent, long or short. It is very clear and apparent to them. This is very true. With the unhindered power of eloquence, they constantly turn the wheel of Dhamma. This is also very true. They first let 4 drops of dew to emerge the dust of desire. So we will share on this. So we will off the light, then we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. Relaxation is the first support. Then after that, don't do anything. Maintain awareness. Just silence your mind. Relax. Maintain mindfulness or awareness. Just be aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Don't try to know. Just silent. If you have an object of meditation that you are familiar with, you can develop mindfulness of it. Then maintain the awareness until it becomes very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. If you have not developed your spiritual faculties, then chances are you will have mental hindrance and you think a lot. So never mind. Whatever thought arises, let it arise. Do not resist, do not suppress, do not do anything. Just let it arise and pass away with the understanding that the untrained mind without the spiritual faculty is heedless, think a lot. Sankara activity arises because you lack spiritual faculties, the 5 spiritual faculty. So without the 5 spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot maintain awareness. You cannot meditate. So what you should do is let this sankhara activity slow down by itself. Let the mundane mind do whatever it like, the unfinished activity or business. So let it arise and slow down. Then finally, when you don't give it any more attention, there is no mental energy to continue to support the proliferation of thinking or thought process. So sankhara will slow down. So if you relax body and mind and maintain awareness, you can witness all this, you can see all this, you can observe all this. So meditation is to understand what is going on within the moment. So when all this slow down, it will finally give rise to understanding. As it slow down, you will start to feel or sense the transformation that is happening. There is like a sudden shift in consciousness, where your consciousness without the sankhara activity, without the thought process, suddenly appear quiet to you. You can perceive through the awareness then the whole thing has transformed. So when this shift of consciousness arises, you will come to realize your true mind, the silent within. So meditation is to maintain that relaxed state of mind, maintain awareness to develop the ability to understand all this. So when you are able to be aware of your silent mind, that is your true mind, your meditative mind. So relax body and mind completely, maintain awareness, and let sankhara activities slow down. Then you just be aware to realize that nature within, which is the awareness nature. The awareness nature is your true mind, your eternal nature. That silent within, that is just aware, nothing else. Whatever that arises from there is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the thought process, sankhara. So the five aggregate of forming mind is a byproduct that arises from that nature. So meditation is to be aware of that nature and from there observe what happens when the mundane mind arises, when the forming mind arises. Then we will understand who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human being. So all this is meditation. Then you can witness many things. Without the awareness, you can't meditate. You cannot be sensitive. You cannot understand many things. So our awareness nature is our true mind. That is the one that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That nature is very beautiful. So you need to stabilize your awareness to realize that. Then from there, you can meditate. Use that to meditate. They can comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearances of reality, existence or non-existence, long or short. It is very clear and apparent to them. With the unhindered power of eloquence, they constantly turn the wheel of Dhamma. They first let fall drops of dew to emerge the dust of desire. So these are what great beings, great bodhisattvas are capable of. Those who take the bodhisattva way after they have established themselves on the path, they will have this ability, which means they can comprehend and distinguish the nature. The nature has two aspects. One is the true nature within. The other one is nature within existence. So the ability to distinguish the nature and the appearances of reality, that is their unique quality. Then within the nature, there exists reality. Whether existent or non-existent, they understand. Long or short, they understand. It is very clear and apparent to them. So this is the power of great beings who has the wisdom and the deep penetrative understanding of truth. With the unhindered power of eloquence, so most of these great beings, they have the capacity to share Dhamma, because they share it direct from their nature, their heart. They don't have to really remember or prepare. So they are very eloquent in the sense that they can just share with you whatever that is understood within their nature. So with the unhindered power of eloquence, they constantly turn the wheel of Dhamma, which is very true. So the subsequent line is a description. They first let fall drops of dew. That is the analogy for our mundane existence, to emerge the dust of desire. Here, dust of desire means the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Your craving, your desire, your attachment, your grasping, the way living beings deludedly hold on to things. So this title is very beautiful. Then we read on. If we can maintain purity in our hearts and mind, this is very important, and attain a state of tranquility and clarity, then naturally, when we observe other people, everything we see is Dhamma. This is very true. For those who have cultivated even know, maintain purity in our hearts and mind means what? Means you are no longer deluded. You have wisdom. With wisdom come the understanding. Your nature is very pure, full of wisdom and understanding. That's why there is purity within the heart and mind. So heart is our nature. Mind is our mundane mind, our form and mind, karmically conditional for us to come to this existential world. Then when we have this purity in our hearts and mind, then we can attain a state of tranquility and stillness with clarity. Then naturally, when we observe other people, everything we see is Dhamma. This is very true. Infinite Dhamma is all around us in our daily living, which is very true. That's our daily life itself. It's the meditation, it's the teaching. So this description is very beautiful. Infinite Dhamma is all around us in our daily living. During our interaction with people, their every words and every movement is Dhamma. Every activity is Dhamma. If our minds are pure, even though we may be stuck in the limited view of seeing ourselves as distinct from others, we can still see the Dhamma. This is very true. Then naturally, infinite Dhamma dhammas will readily appear in front of us. We attain great wisdom and completely understand all Dhamma. It's just as simple as that, and it can be done if you know how to cultivate. If we can do that, then we realize that the Buddha's teaching have always been this simple and apparent. But this is really true. The Buddha Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha, they are actually very simple and very apparent. They are found all over in our daily living. We will also be able to exercise our wisdom to discern everything. You will come to understand all this. This wisdom is not the same as the knowledge of ordinary beings. So now you understand why I always said, wisdom free, knowledge bind. Knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of knowledge or memories. So knowledge is thought process, thought base. That's why you hold on to your knowledge. Knowledge is rigid. Knowledge is just worldly intelligence. It's not the pure intelligent or wise being. You can have knowledge, but yet you are not wise. So knowledge and wisdom our will of path. Knowledge comes from the thought process, memory, analyzing, differentiation and all those things. You can have a lot of knowledge in life, but you may not be wise. Whereas wisdom is the opposite. Wisdom is an understanding that can allow you to understand the way things are, who you are, what you are, and how you function as a living being or a human being. The wisdom can also allow you to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, all of reality, existence, whatever that manifests. It can explain to you the way things are. You can see things as they are. That is wisdom. Whereas knowledge is very, very different. It's very rigid. It's not an understanding that can free your mind. Knowledge, more often than not, bind you to views and opinion and condition you into delusion, negativity. That's why knowledge is different from wisdom. So here, the Sutta say that wisdom is not the same as knowledge of ordinary being. Where this wisdom comes from the inner nature, the silent mind, the awareness nature, that have the ability and stability to insight into phenomena and awaken. So that is the understanding, the wisdom. The moment you awaken, you have totality of understanding, and you are no longer deluded and deceived by the phenomenal. The universal characteristics of all phenomena in this universe, you will penetrate and understand. That's why with that penetrative understanding, wisdom, you are no longer deluded. Then you will understand what is reality and what is non-reality. So all these are very beautiful and very profound. Then I read on it. Knowledge is what we acquire through learning or labeling and recognizing things such as flowers and grasses. It is knowing the name and appearances of things. It is what we learn from time we are young as we pass through time and space. This is knowledge. The accumulated memory of things that are agreed upon or popularly accepted by society, that is knowledge. Like you remember, all the names of all those things that society has agreed to name them. So you have very good knowledge of history, very good knowledge of geography, science, very good knowledge of humanity. Means when it comes to humanity, all of their culture, their reasons, all everything, you may have good knowledge. Civilization, history, everything. And even like geography, all the various country and nation, you may know their names, their capital city, their economic activity, and what type of terrain, landscape, everything. So all this lead to knowledge. Then you are very good in your studies. These are all thought-based, knowledge-based. So knowledge can be accumulated through memory over time, as we exist, as we learn. Every society has their own culture, their own type of civilization. Then as you develop understanding of the various culture, the various things that they do, you accumulate knowledge. But when it comes to wisdom, we cannot use thought. We have to silence our mind to observe, to be aware, to be sensitive. Then we have to go into our inner nature, our true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. Yeah. So this one is our true nature, our true mind, which is different from the mundane mind or the thinking mind. So there is also this, what they call confusion that Dhamma practitioner may have. So what they learn from the teaching, especially the Theravada tradition, they are always taught the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So to them, the five aggregates of form and mind and all phenomena that exist within the phenomenal world, they have the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. That's why the five aggregates of form and mind are impermanent, suffering, empty, not real, not what you think. So we were taught all this. So what are the five aggregates of form and mind? The aggregate of form is rupa. Then the aggregates of mind are vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. So we always heard in the teaching, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, vedana anicang, vedana anatta, sanya anicang, sanya anatta, sankara anicang, sankara anatta, vijnana anicang, vijnana anatta. So all this are easy to understand, especially rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, because these are fairly obvious to us. But the last one, vijnanang. Vijnanang is classified as consciousness under the five aggregates of form and mind. So consciousness actually is different from the true mind. The consciousness that has its content is referred to as the mundane mind. Whereas the pure awareness or the pure consciousness without its content, that is very near the nature. So the pure awareness nature, which is just awareness before the knowing, there is a nature within each and every living beings, especially human beings. We have this pure awareness nature within. And this one, the awareness nature, was there before the form and mind even arise. It is the eternal nature. So this one has none of the three universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering and non-self nature or empty nature of existence, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Where this awareness is the timeless, the unconditioned, it's just aware, just that nature. And that is the other aspect of mind that we seldom dwell. So for those who are from the Theravada tradition, if they have not developed the meditation and the understanding with penetrative clarity and understanding, they cannot differentiate between the two. So that's why the question arises. So if sometimes you listen to some of this YouTube video, you can see them asking this question to the monks. Remember, I saw one video earlier on. The difference between sense or consciousness and our pure consciousness or pure nature. They asked this question to, I think, Longpo Sumedho. And his answer was good, quite beautiful. But he based it on his own understanding, which is not bad. So he tried to explain, but it's not easy for him. So he has to bring in some form of Mahayana teaching, the Zen teaching. So for monks who have cultivated and developed the understanding, they will understand this. Because that pure awareness is different than nature within. It was never born. That's why it's the eternal life, the unconditioned. When you are with that nature, it is not a condition arising entity. It doesn't need any condition to arise. It doesn't need sense data for it to arise. So consciousness needs sense data, need the sense organ, need the sense basis. So upon contact of sense basis, sense data, and the consciousness, the pure consciousness, it triggers off the sense door consciousness or mundane consciousness. That's how we become conscious. That's how a living being becomes conscious. We can become conscious of what we see, the seeing consciousness or the eye consciousness. We can be conscious of what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So all this consciousness, they arise and they pass away. This one belongs to the conditioned world, the Buddha called it Vijnana. When you input the content of consciousness, it becomes namarupang. So the Patisyasamuppada description is based on this. Avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana. Vijnana, that is the sense of consciousness, paccaya namarupang, when the content of consciousness go in. Before we go in, the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. Means upon contact, it's like a nature's law. Like the physics experiment, you on the switch, the light bulb lights up naturally. No need God, no need creator, nothing. So the lighting up is like to make you conscious. So it can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So that is consciousness. Yeah. But awareness is different. You can be conscious of things. You can be consciously living life. When you wake up from your sleep, you are conscious. When you are in your sleep, you may not be conscious. Most of them are not conscious. That's why they can arise subconscious thought process. But if you are a meditator, a cultivator, you can sleep. You may not be conscious, but you are aware within. But from the awareness to come out and become conscious is very near, very fast it can come out. But to stay silent within, that tranquility, that stillness, to maintain the awareness, that is our true mind, our true nature. So realize that, understand that, because that is a beautiful aspect of mind, which living beings seldom have a chance to touch or access. And without that, you cannot meditate. You cannot understand many things. You cannot really observe or awaken. That's why the awareness nature, the pure mind, the true nature, that is a very beautiful aspect of your nature within. So always remember there are two minds. One is the true mind, the awareness nature within. That one you have to completely cease the thought, the thinking. Then only you can realize that awareness nature, that true mind. The other one is the byproduct, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, the one that has the universal characteristic, that which the Buddha described under the five aggregate of form and mind. So when you meditate, you must understand this difference between the true mind and the mundane mind. So today I want to dwell into this, where this is the topic that many people cannot understand. Even a lot of Buddhists, even monks, cultivators, they cannot understand. So when you understand this, you will grow in your dhamma understanding. You will grow in the way you cultivate. And then you can truly understand the teaching and you can penetrate reality, awaken and become enlightened. Okay, I will continue with the sharing. Knowledge is what we acquire through labeling. This one we have gone through, and recognizing. So here the description by the author is very superficial, not deep enough. So you listen to the recording. Just now I share with you one. That one is more complete. Anyway, I just read through. Knowledge is what we acquire through labeling and recognizing things, such as flowers and grasses. It is knowing the names and appearances of things. It is what we learn from time, from the time we are young, as we pass through time and space. This is knowledge, or thought-based. A lot to do with memories, or we call it facts, facts of life. Knowledge is facts of life. And most of these are mundane knowledge. But the Buddha teaches us that beside knowledge, we also have to develop wisdom. As I say, wisdom is very different from knowledge. The Chinese character for wisdom consists of character for knowledge with the addition of the character for sun, which represents an image of universal illumination. Oh, is it? Wisdom. Zhihui. Yiji, understand? Right here, right here. Right on the whiteboard. Right on the whiteboard. I want to know the Mandarin word so that we can develop understanding. How come there is a sun at the back, at the side, at the bottom? Zi is moon, isn't it?
Zi is sun.
Oh, jitao. Oh, jitao.
Zi.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. So my daughter will try to zoom in the video there. Ah, yes. Ah, can see the word, huh? Okay, circle the word. Circle the word. So my wife has taught me. So this is 智慧, 智, So this in Mandarin is wisdom. So there are two words. The first word is the top part. The top part is knowing, knowledge, 智. Here is 智. Like sun. So this one is illumination. So correct, yes. The text is correct. So wisdom, the Mandarin word is more precise. They describe it very well. It's not the same as knowledge, but it's an understanding based on awakening. That's why there is illumination. And this is why the Mandarin words are very unique. the person who create the word actually understand. Otherwise, he cannot come up with the word wisdom. So this is how our Chinese culture. That's why as Buddhists, as Chinese, we are actually quite lucky in that sense that our 5,000 over years of very rich civilization and culture has helped develop all this type of language and words for us to develop the understanding. Okay, we go back to the notes. So I will read to one more time. The wisdom word are formed from the character for knowledge. Knowledge is knowing. So knowledge with the addition of the character of sun. At the bottom, which represent an image of universal illumination, which is very true. What about your Mandarin words there? Oh, can you read from your Mandarin translation? You read that one. Lai. I come. Wait, you read the Mandarin one.
字这个字是在之字下加上日字，意思就是光明辽阔，
光明辽阔，
天下万物的道理。
Very good. That one is those who know Mandarin can understand much better. So with such wisdom, we can discern the principle of all things in the world. Which is very beautiful in the description. There is a total understanding. That's why wisdom can discern the truth, the principle of all things in the world. For example, we understand that all kinds of flowers, grasses, shrubs, vegetables, and plants have their own underlying scientific principles. And that the nature and appearances of each is different. Their qualities and function are also all different. Principles are also embodied in our knowledge regarding the ingredients, flavor, and nutrients of the three meals we eat every day or each day. For example, winter is the season for vegetables. Such as, what is this? Daikon is pilopo. Oh, good. My daughter luckily radish. Yeah? Daikon is radish. And cabbage. Cabbage is what? Bao chai. Cabbage is bao chai. Oh, very good. Which are considered suitable for eating in cold weather. According to traditional Chinese medicine, this shows how the principles of material things are in harmony with the principle of human psychology. Physiology. Human physiology. Because when the weather is cold, our body temperature tend to be higher. And thus this type of food is suitable. When we mindfully examine the different food of different seasons, we can understand how the principle of the natural world coordinate with those of the human physiology. To comprehend and distinguish refers to how, when our minds are tranquil, we can naturally comprehend all the principles of the universe and reach a state where we can clearly discern the law of life and nature. That's why I explained to you all, we can understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's it. The nature and appearances of reality, the truth, the reality, what is, points out to how all things in the universe have a nature and an appearances. And that all natures and appearances have their intrinsic realities. This is very true. Sometimes principles are difficult to explain in simple words. To explain a single sentence from the Buddha, we may have to draw on many different labels and appearances. This shows how difficult it is to comprehend the Buddha's understanding. I don't know why he used the word views. The Buddha actually don't carry views. His teaching is the truth. He understands truth. That's why the Buddha's understanding. In the same way, the principles of this world are also profound and difficult to understand or comprehend. For example, some researchers and specialists have found through experimentation many substances that can be used to benefit the human body, such as ones that can prevent cancer or can cure or treat disease. Also, through examining blood and bone marrow samples, researchers have found that stem cells can be used to treat many kinds of diseases. The science of physiology and physics have uncovered profound mystery of life. This is truly wondrous. Long ago, the Buddha taught us that if we can attain great wisdom and completely understand all Dhamma, then we will naturally be able to comprehend and distinguish the nature and appearances of reality. This is very true. As ordinary beings, before we begin to learn the Dhamma, we will see a mountain as mountain, the three levels of seeing, and water as water. As we learn the way, we will begin to analyze, understand, and awaken to see that a mountain is not a mountain and that water is not water. However, we do not realize that at the stage we are only making superficial argument with language. We are still unable to thoroughly understand that in the end, mountains are mountains and water is water. That's like the third phase of seeing. But the great enlightened ones of the universe has already penetrated infinite Dhamma Dao, so he can fully realize all principles of the universe. Existent or non-existent, long or short, is very clear and apparent to them. This is very true. Unless you awaken, not easy to understand all this. The answer to this question can only be known by the great enlightened ones of the universe. That's why I say the great beings. Is the body existent or non-existent? That is a very simple question, but it's very profound. Without wisdom, you cannot penetrate. It's just like asking you, is your body you? Is your body real? Do you exist? Or did you don't exist? Who are you? What are you? These are very profound understanding, not easy to comprehend. Is a lifespan short or long? Relative. We have no way to predict it. Some lifespan are so short that we cannot even detect them. And some are so long that we cannot see the beginning or end, like the evolution of the universe. The length of an aeon. But within the existence of an aeon, there are a lot of split second moments of reality. That's why that one very short. Sometimes you are not even aware of the split second rising and passing away. So we have no way to predict it. Some lifespan are so short that we cannot even detect them, and some are so long that we cannot see the beginning or ending. Everything in the universe is governed by their own nature's laws. and the coming law of cause and effect. The perceivable appearances of all things can be analyzed and broken down into even smaller elements. Yet we ordinary beings still insist on being attached to superficial appearances such as long or short, thereby creating affliction for ourselves. Actually, all material things are formed through the temporary aggregation of the four elements, the earth element, water, fire, and wind element. Even the space that we are in is a temporary aggregation of the four elements. The air contains moisture, which is an element of water. The element of wind is the movement of the air. If the air does not circulate, it becomes stale and unbearable. The warmth in the air is due to the elements of fire or heat element. The element of earth is present everywhere we go. Yeah, there is a note 13. Eh? We have to read that note 13. Oh, sometimes given as air. Okay, that is note 13. Okay, we go back. Eh? The four elements are always present in all aspects of our daily life. For example, even a cooking spatula and a wok are formed by the four elements. Metal belongs to the element of earth. Minerals cannot be formed into metal utensils. Minerals could not be formed into metal utensils without being melted and tempered by the elements of water and fire. And even fire needs the element of wind to be ignited. A table is also a temporary aggregate of the four elements. Its materials are gathered from the forest in the mountain. First, seeds are planted in the soil, then with the nourishment of the sun, water and air, they slowly grow into large trees. The trees are then chopped down and made into all kinds of furniture. And all these things temporarily temporarily aggregates of the four elements. So this is to explain the four elements. When the four elements are separated, does anything still exist? Existent or non-existent, long or short, is very clear and apparent to them. With wisdom, we can understand these principles. So here, you were to develop the clear understanding, you need to meditate. You need to meditate. So this four element is a simple way of describing things. Eh? So like the author said, the coming together of the four elements created the condition for phenomena to arise, for things to arise. That's why it's called the condition world, phenomenal world. So these four elements can create my rights of manifestation. That's why things can be transformed. Continuously transformed. So in science, especially physics, we also study the law of conservation of mass and energy. So although mass and energy is important, but you look deep into it, they are actually the four elements. The mass are mainly earth element, water element, and other things. But then when it comes to heat element, fire element, wind element, they are mainly energy. That's why the scientists are not bad. Law of conservation of mass and energy. Then they also come out with this understanding, nothing is created nor destroyed. They just transform from one into another. Law of conservation of mass and energy. So the question here asked is, when the four elements are separated, does anything still exist? This one is what we call the knowledge, the notice. So you through what they call rational thinking, without the four elements, nothing exists. There is a condition arising. So the four elements are the governing condition, and they all manifest and cause things to arise and transform things. So with wisdom, we can understand these principles. Then for these great beings who have cultivated the understanding and the penetrative Dhamma, they will understand very clearly, and to them is very apparent. Whether our lives are long or short, or whether we are healthy or constantly ill, is determined by mainly by karma, by the karmic we brought with us from our past life. Everything has its causes and conditions, which result in the effect we experience today. This is the karmic law of cause and effect. The process depends on the four phenomena of cause, condition, effect, and retribution. So this is another way of describing it, cause and effect. But because of causes and conditions, the effect also has retribution. So it's actually cause and effect, but they add in the condition and the retribution. The four elements are earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. They are also four phenomena that come together to bring material things into existence. Actually, it's mass and energy. So this law of karma, the Buddha put it very well. That's why the author also trying to express it. But the five daily contemplation, the last one, the Buddha summarized the law of cause and effect, the moral causation of karma very well, very clearly. He said, as living beings, not only human beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. So karma is very important. Our life depends entirely on karma. That's why we are born of our karma. We inherit everything that karma brings about, our karmic nature. So this understanding is very important. We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, that condition is supported by our karma. And we are what we are every moment, every instant, because of our karma. But just now, the author mentioned whether we have long life or short life, everything depends on the karma that we are born into. Technically, it's true, but it's not something like everything is conditioned already. It means predestined, like this life you want because your DNA coding, you will get sick, you will get this type of disease and all things. It's coded, the endocarmic. But then, when you arise, all these are not predestined. But most people, non-cultivator, who don't have the understanding, who don't have the faith, the very special affinity with the Triple Gem or the teaching, it is more or less true, 99% karmically driven, because they can't change their life. But for cultivators of the way, those who have the Dhamma, those who have very strong faith and understanding, they can actually introduce change or condition within this existence. Because after you are born, although everything is condition supported and other things, and you are what you are because of karma. But moment to moment, from this moment onward, you can introduce new condition, and such condition can be very unique, very peculiar, and full of understanding and wisdom, that it can cause things to arise and change the course of destiny. That's why karmic, we call it the karmic retribution. You can only avoid it through one way, wisdom. Better avoid your lesson, or you walk through it with understanding. Yeah. Only wisdom can do that, means understanding the Dhamma. So if you know how to introduce all these causes and conditions and follow the Dhamma way, then a lot of things can still change. Yeah. But this only happens to great beings, cultivate all the way. Yeah. So that is the part I want to add. Apart from that, is more or less you can say karmically conditioned and driven. If everything is that way, then there is no point in living life, because everything is like predestined. So like the saying goes, Sir Francis Knight wrote this, which is very good. The past may condition us, but it does not dominate over us. You understand the deep meaning, eh? Because past is already gone. The karmic thing already there. You cannot change. So it will condition you. It will make you what you are now. But it does not dominate over you, because from this moment onward, you can make a difference to your life. You can use your wisdom and understanding to change, to evolve. That's why enlightenment in the here and now become possible. A deluded being can turn and cultivate and become enlightened, just like the case of Angulimala, a murderer, a robber, such deluded and violent being can turn around after he met the Buddha, because of past causes and conditions and affinity. Then the moment he understands, he seriously determined to change. He threw away all the weapon, everything, and decided to take refuge with the Buddha. Decided to become a follower of the Buddha, a disciple of the Buddha, to take refuge and change over to a new life, to cultivate. So Dhamma is something very unique. When you have the causes and conditions to bring forth the understanding, that it can change your life, transform your life, and make you different. So as cultivator of the way, depend on your cultivation, your karmic inheritance, and your spiritual nature. You have already cultivated very long. You have already developed your cultivation to a level where you can have such understanding. Then whenever you come, you are beautiful all the way. It's like everything is already properly developed through your understanding, your vows, your aspiration, your pure wish, and all those understanding. Then every segmented life that you take to come as a bodhisattva, you will have beautiful life. It's like everything already pre-planned for you, and your nature is very different. But for the rest who don't have that type of cultivation, they are mostly conditioned and driven by their karmic past. Unless they have certain affinity with great beings and the great beings' nature or the cultivator's nature, there is unlikely to be causes and conditions for them to meet the enlightened one and develop this understanding and change their life. That's why during the Buddha Sasana, which is now, all these are possible. But without the Sasana, my nature realized, it's not easy. Not easy. So this Dhamma that the Buddha has expounded based on his realization is very important, very useful. We must cherish it, treasure it, and make use of it. We must commit ourselves with sincerity, faith and determination, and perseverance to go all out to cultivate this teaching so that it can transform our life, it can make a difference to our life. So that life after life, whenever we choose to come or have to come, we will have this beautiful form and mind and condition to really live life, be a blessing to all, to experience all of the very, very pristine beauty and wonders of life. So these are possible. That's why within the Buddha Sasana, which we are having now, all these are possible. So have faith, be sincere, persevere and cultivate, determine strongly. Take the vow, the Bodhisattva vow that I have shared with you all. Then strive on with faithfulness, cultivate diligently. Okay, we will continue. All Buddhas and Bodhisattva come to the human realm for the sole purpose of using their wisdom to teach sentient beings the principle of the universe. This is very, very true. Spot on. That's why without great beings, without the Buddhas and the great beings, the Sama, Sambuddha and the great beings, the Bodhisattvas, coming to the human realm for the sole purpose of applying or using their wisdom to teach sentient beings the principle of the universe or the secret of life, the Dhamma. Then it's not easy for living beings to liberate their mind, to awaken. Because there are Buddhas and Bodhisattvas with their great nature keep on coming to the human realms for the sole purpose of helping the sentient beings to develop this clear understanding of the Dhamma. These are possible. All this become possible. But sentient beings' problem is they hold on to their foolishness and attachment. Their minds are clouded, covered with ignorance. Thus, they cannot reflect deeply on or comprehend the principle behind existence and non-existence. Some of these are because of their karmic early life. They cannot receive, no matter what, they cannot receive. They don't even have the condition to listen or receive. Because even this life, my nature realized, some people I know them, they are actually have the condition to receive all this. But their karmic obstruction and their karmic condition prevent them from receiving. There is no way. You can't even try to talk to them. Yeah, there is no way. Something is very wrong, like obstruction, the karmic obstruction. Very severe. That's why I just let things be. Not until something happens. It can't, means it can't. Sometimes even your own loved ones, when there is no condition, you can't share, you can't teach. So we cannot be like too eager to share and teach just because they are our loved ones, they are our friends, our colleagues, people whom we don't know very well. Related to us and all those things. No. Dhamma is not like that. Dhamma is condition arising, causal phenomena. Without condition, nothing happens. So these people, they only focus on the confine of long and short, the duality within the existential world, and they tend to quarrel over this duality things endlessly. They worry about life. They are so attached to things. They are so concerned with so many things. That's why ignorance and delusion can really be very detrimental, can cause a lot of suffering and affliction to living beings. Then I will read on the next paragraph. If our minds are pure, then we can clearly reflect on our surroundings and comprehend that everything is Dhamma. This is very true. Thus everything is very clear and apparent to us. When we clearly understand this principle, we will have the unhindered power of eloquence. Sometimes we will hear principles that seem to make sense, but are in fact incorrect. This is very true. Like I always said and shared with you all, whatever that is logical may not be the truth. The truth is most of the time, if not all the time, opposite of what is logical. The logical may not be the wisdom way. Whatever that is logical may not be the truth. When we clearly understand this principle, we will have the unhindered power of eloquence. Sometimes we will hear principles that seems to make sense but are incorrect. This is because modern people through This is because modern people though endowed with abundant knowledge, that's why knowledge, but they lack the wisdom of discernment. Because the logic, she also know, the author, because the logic in our thinking is incomplete. That's why logical may not be the truth. We remain attached to the appearances of things and principles, and thus we create many conflicting views and opinions. The author used the word perspectives. Not so good a word. I think the translator's problem. How can we attain the unhindered power of eloquence? We must have a very tranquil and clear mind state that clearly reflects all matters and things, and then deeply contemplate them to gain understanding. Now, this is very true. This is similar to the round convex mirror that we often see at road junction. They can reflect a wide angle of views and let people clearly see the coming cars from all directions. If the mirrors are flat, then the scope of what they can reflect would be limited. This kind of mirror can be compared with the great perfect mirror wisdom described in the Buddha Dharma. So this type of mirror in science we call convex mirror or concave mirror. Wisdom is like a perfect rounded mirror. It can clearly reflect all states in the world. Suji volunteers often talk about coming together in perfect harmony like concentric crystal spheres. This refers to a great and perfectly round state of wisdom, which is everyone's original perfect mirror wisdom. Learning the Buddha's way is learning to obtain a mind as clear as crystal, and a wisdom as clear and bright as a mirror. Thus, we can see in front and behind, and understand past, present, and future life. No matter what time or space we are in, we can penetrate the principle of matter, living beings, mind, and all other things. Then we can obtain the unhindered power of eloquence and communicate this principle without hindrance. If we can comprehend all principles and gain the unhindered power of eloquence, then we must constantly turn the wheel of Dhamma. We can help sentient beings eliminate the ignorance in their mind turn their states of mind into one that is pure and bright, and return to their intrinsic nature that is equal to the Buddha's, our Buddha nature. To turn the wheel of Dhamma, we have to start with our own mind. This is very true. We have to start with mind. Yeah? Basic principle of mind. To turn the wheel of Dhamma, we have to start with our own mind. If we cannot turn our mind around, but remain trapped in confusion and ignorance, then the state of tranquility will not surface. This is very true. You must realize your true mind to have this state of tranquility and stillness. Then even if we often explain the teaching and write many essays, it would all be mere chattering. So when we hear Dhamma, besides needing to thoroughly comprehend the truth, we need to simultaneously learn to eliminate our habitual tendencies. Otherwise, how can we teach the Dhamma to others? That's why you must straighten your view and root out habitual tendency. To reach the point of attaining the Buddha's view and understanding ordinary beings, to reach the point of attaining the Buddha's understanding, the word view should not be there. Ordinary beings must first learn to turn their ignorant mind into the mind of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. This requires us to constantly listen to the Dhamma, the Avijja Sutta, have Dhamma friend and constantly listen to the Dhamma and take it to heart. Then apply it little by little to ease our restlessness and keep our mind pure. Thus, we are able to stay unaffected by affliction and external influences and can avoid having distorted and discursive or inverted thought process. This is how we first let fall drops of dew to immerse the dust of desire. So this is just an analogy. Let fall drops of dew to immerse the dust of desire. It is part of the process of turning the Dhamma wheel. So this is beautiful. Two more minutes before we end. Okay, I read on. Our mind are like mirror. We need to use Dhamma water to clean them so that we can constantly be kept clean and clear. The mind is like a field. If we do not nourish it with Dhamma water, then even if we have good seeds, they will not survive or grow. The first let fall drops of dew indicates that we should not underestimate even a few drops of dew. For example, the drop of dew that appear on the tip of each blade of grass are gathered from the moisture in the air. Though very small, together they can gradually moisten the earth and help grass and trees survive. No matter how much Dhamma we hear, as long as we can absorb it word for word, phrase by for phrase, and make use of each principle in our daily life and in our encounter with people, then bit by bit, it will enter our mind, it will stabilize inside our nature, and naturally immerse the dust of desire. There are five desires in the world, and all ordinary beings are fettered by them. Life suffering arises from the ignorant desire and affliction of our mind. When we completely eliminate all desire and things of the world, we can then free ourselves from suffering forever. This is very true. Means no more craving, no more desire. Engaging in spiritual practice is learning and practicing how to eliminate ignorance and affliction, and using Dhamma water to nourish our mind. Regardless of how much Dhamma we hear each day, as long as we can adopt even a phrase or one teaching, it will help us to develop our wisdom life. Go to the five desires. So the footnote, the five desire means our senses, the desire of sight, sound, smell, taste and touch, also thought process. Also sometimes given as food, sleep, sensual pleasure, wealth and fame. and also idea, they miss out the sixth one. Oh, they say five desire means the senses. Sorry, the sixth one is the mind. Okay, we end. Thank you so much. So we can now have our second session, which is reporting of meditation, followed by question Q&A. And also you all can share your experience of Dhamma in daily life. Yes.
Okay. Nah. Brother, 我要 share 一个就是在12月 early 12月的时候，在那个 Dharma Talk 的时候，你有 mention 到我们一定要去 stabilize 这个 silent mind 哦。连我自己
yes
对这个 silent mind， 连我自己就一直问要怎样的去stabilize， because。很多的时候我们一直在 cultivate， 当我们到了那个 level 的时候，我 at that level 我们是觉得我们已经是 fully 的、哦、已经是就是在那个 level 的时候我们已经是完全的是 maximum 了。 So then 我一直在想，这样我们要怎样再 further 的就是去 develop 这个silent mind哦，所以像每次讲 relax at my level， 我是觉得哦，我这样子已经是我的 maximum 了。But brother 每次讲还不够哦。So 那时候我就在想，要怎样的去further 的去 develop 这个silent mind。然后 after few days 了过后哦，就有一个 word 这样子 arrive， 就是 sincere，
yeah， sincerity，
这次就这样子就 arise 了。在我的 mind 这样子 arise， 哎，那、
yeah.
过后就在那个 year end 的时候，那 holiday 我就读这个 cultivating the Bodhisattva way 的这个本书
yeah.
那个 first chapter 的时候、okay. ，the moment 我一读到那个 sincerity 这个 word 啊，
yeah.
很像全那个的 word 整个会站起来这样子，
okay.
它的。Then
impact on you、
啊对，连、yeah. 那个 meaning 很像整个stand out 这样子。
Yeah.Very deep，
就我在读这整个 chapter one 的时候，就一直要一读到这个 sincerity，、
yeah.
这个 word 就很像整个站起来， yeah. 很有 meaning 这样吧。我的 thought、
yeah.
又不能够 understand that， 就是你可以 feel 到 like， 哇，这个 word 很就是很 meaningful，
嗯、
yeah. And then that day 我们去 lunch Christmas 的时候 lunch after that 在跟你做 discussion 的时候，你一讲到那个 sincerity 的时候，哇，我的 heart 里面就一直 vibrating， 一直 vibrating。就是 that 两个礼拜，我只要一看到 sincerity， 一听到 sincerity 这个 words 啊，哇，整个就很有，整个很哦，那个 words 很有，就好像整个 stand out 这样子。
Yeah, it has.Great meaning, because for cultivator who really understand, when they reach certain point of their cultivation, all these words start to stand out. That's why you must have faith. Then you must reach that level of cultivation. Even just now, when you ask that question still come from that thought. You thought you have reached the maximum based on your level of understanding the silent mind.Then you have this thought asking the question, how can we go deeper? And how can we do it? So all this is the thought. That's why I say, when you are sincere, you just do. When you hear this type of pointers or instruction or words, you must have faith and just do. Then when you do, you will understand. Because that nature,has a lot of possibility. To stabilize that nature is my right type of possibility. Because as you do it, you become different again, and that nature move and manifest and become different again. Because that nature is very, very difficult to understand.That's why you must go deep into it. You must stabilize it. You can only stabilize it during formal meditation. when you are really meditating in the formal posture without any movement. Yeah. Whereas daily mindfulness, the active time, you can't stabilize it much. You can only stabilize your awareness. That is the dynamic, specific phenomenal awareness. But that one cannot stabilize your nature until it's very stable. When I say stabilize your nature, means go to the form support, trust. Let that nature do it by itself. So when you trust that nature, you silence everything and go to the heart area, the gateway. Then let that thing, the awareness nature, stabilize. Then a lot of movement, like what Pochen go through. Then the yin and yang energy, they will melt inside and they transform. That after they transform, there's a lot more. That one is the internal movement. Then after the internal movement all stabilized already, you can still stabilize that nature. That nature will do the rest, the outward movement. Then it will not only stay at the gateway or what, it will activate and like awaken all of the other chakra around that gateway and heart area, the front and the back, everything, they will start to activate it. But without you doing anything, that nature move, that nature do everything. Although I say move or what, but there is no word. Well, the awareness nature is just a nature. And that nature is pure energy, pure vibration, and very fine. And that is the one that can do a lot of things. That's why when you do that, it can become very, very still, very tranquil, very quiet. Then that movement, you will know. Then the byproduct, how it become gas and all those things. So becoming gas is still a process, a long process of cleansing and all those things. Because that pure energy is very unique, very beautiful. Not until you do it, you cannot understand. So what you have gone through is good. On your own, you discover the deep meaning of sincerity. When you are sincere, your faith is very strong. If you are not sincere, your faith cannot be strong. So sincerity and faith will drive you. Then you will just do, persevere. And when you do, you will understand more things. Then you will be able to actually later on grasp at the deeper meaning of all the things that I shared with you all within all the books, especially the Bodhisattva Way, cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, and also the Heart Sutta. You may think you already penetrate most of it, which could be quite true, but there are still many more understanding within that is very, very beautiful. That's why this sutta of infinite meaning or Wu Liang Yi Jing is very beautiful, where it's about the infinite understanding, the infinite meaning, innumerous meaning. So wisdom is unending. It's very, very beautiful. So as your nature stabilizes, it will develop very unique clarity and understanding. Then it can penetrate more and more truth, more and more Dhamma. That's how you evolve and move. That's why the cultivation is also something like unending, even though we have such a word as perfection of wisdom. You may have perfected the perfection of wisdom, prajna paramita. That's why you can have that samasambuddha nature at the moment that is supposed to be the ultimate, the highest that a living being can achieve or realize. But as far as the conditioned world's existence is concerned, the mind right possibility of civilization evolution is unending. So that aspect of wisdom is unending. Because it's not just limited to the general principle of nature, involving life, existence. That's why I always say existence has its own reality and it's very beautiful, very beautiful. So the wisdom of that part, the existential world, is unending. The perfection of it is on the nature's law that governs life. And that one you can perfect everything. But when it comes to life, existence, the conditioned world, the evolution is unending. And every time you come, you learn new things. You learn beautiful things. That's why civilization keep on evolving and evolving and evolving. So that is what the Heart Sutta say. Zhen kong miao yu. True emptiness is wonderful. Existence really wonderful. You can experience so much thing. You can go through so much thing. Yeah. So this is the aspect that I need to share with you all, because there is condition. Luckily, you created the condition. So your question is very good. So hope this will help you, some and others too. Then you can continue from where you share just now.
Then 过后, like 过后, 再加上那天的那个 morning 的那个 meditation 的那个 experience 了以后，哎，我发现到这个 mind 在 understand 这个 dharma， 很像那个慢慢的，你会看到它比较开始 clear 了这样。
Yeah.
那些帕斯很像全部可以连起来了，就那个 then 你可以看到，哎，我都是还不是很 deep， 但是整个的很像那个大蓝图已经，哎，我里面的就慢慢的可以了解这样子。Yeah,
you can slowly like piece them together. That one is very important. Because unless you see the big picture, you cannot understand the micro. You need to understand the totality. That's why wisdom is the totality, the whole thing. It's not a fragmented understanding. If your understanding is fragmented, it's knowledge, it is not wisdom. Wisdom is understanding thoroughly the whole thing. That's why it's full, not a fragmented. Means it can be applied to all situations, all conditions. That's what wisdom is all about. So if your wisdom is like fragmented, means certain thing you can have the wisdom to overcome. Then when you hit certain condition or certain other situation, you cannot handle. That is not wisdom, which means you are not enlightened. Yeah. If you are enlightened, it's a complete totality of understanding, no matter what the condition is, what the situation is, what the phenomena is, the form and mind that has that wisdom and the understanding that nature will understand. It can never be deluded or confused. It will know how to accord and flow, and it will know how to do things in accordance with the Dhamma way. And it can understand that all these are not real, the form and mind, the way, the two. That's why all this is total, complete understanding. Just now, even when I mentioned about the sharing of the two types of mind, about the sense of consciousness and the pure awareness and the pure consciousness, even that part, people cannot understand. People cannot penetrate. Then how can you link the totality, the whole thing? Because what is that form of mind? Also, they don't know. Chemically conditioned vehicle and tool for them to come. They also don't know. Then what is enlightenment? Who enlightened? What enlightened? Who died? What died? Who are you? What are you? Do you exist? Is your body real? Is your consciousness real? All this understanding needs a complete totality of understanding. That's why all this is linked. That's why I teach you the complete teaching. Who are you? What are you? The form and mind, the five aggregate. This is dependent originating, not a permanent unchanging entity. All this they cannot explain, they cannot understand. Many times the cultivator, they confuse themselves. They think they are the form in mind. They think they are the one looking for enlightenment. They think they are the one enlightened. Then towards the end, they realize the Dhamma doesn't say that. The Dhamma says no one to be enlightened, no becoming. So they are very confused because they can't explain all this. But based on what I have shared with you or taught you all, we have very clear understanding and we know what this form and mind is all about, the segmented life, every life that we arise and manifest. This is just a vehicle and a tool, and this is subject to karma, and it complements all the teaching, the salutation to the Sangha, everything match, the duty and all those things. But nowadays, very few cultivators understand this. Not even monks. Not easy, that's why. That's why with the sasana and with the good karmic affinity and conditioning and condition that you all have, you all are very blessed. And we are very, very fortunate to have such beautiful condition to share all this Dhamma. And these are very beautiful, very profound. That's why Maitreya requested it. And it will be recorded in the website, and this can be shared over long period of time. So all those who help make this a reality and possibility, they will inherit beautiful karmic condition for their nature to arise in the future to receive all this teaching. But you contributed to its arising. Then whatever is spin off in future, all Kayamita who has become part of this big Kayamita family and those who have out, they will receive all this teaching in a very easy and beautiful manner. And if you really determine sincerely and go for to cultivate with faith and persevere, develop the vow, the Bodhisattva vow, then strive on with faithfulness and just do. Then all this become possible. You will stabilize your understanding, then your nature through the vow, life after life, whenever you come, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this right view, this understanding, and you will know how to move from here. You must plant the seed of Bodhi with great faith, sincerity, and determination until it becomes very, very stable. Until this life, everything is very clear to you. If this life, everything is still not clear to you, what do you expect when you come back? It takes a while to connect all these things and learn all these things again. That's why you have to do it over a period of time. So this is the best window. So do it. Sadhu, do you some? You can continue. Okay.
就很像那是我讲连我有几个那个 dreams is continuous 的 recently。他以前我每次做了这个 dreams 了以后，我就 like 那个 dreams 在一直在 disturb 我。But 这一次他在 appear， 因为我很久没有做梦了。那他连他就 last 2 week， 哇，一直全部一直出来，一直出来。连我再去 contemplate 的时候，我不是只是被那个 dream disturb， 然后我可以看到，诶，这些 dream 的 arise， 它的 behind 都是一个那个 fear 的那个 factor 来的。对，因为那个 fear， because of 那个 fear， 然后我们就是在那个 dream 里面，我才发现，
yeah,
我在那个 dream 里面是 full of fear 的。
For you to root them out， because these are your deep。What they call unconscious one, the unconscious one trapped inside, very deep, unconscious fear. When you are unconscious, they release out. So they release out through dreams. Then if you can reflect, contemplate and understand, that's how you stabilize the understanding and root them all out. Very good. That's why you will trace back. Because when you are in that type of the unconscious state of trapped fear, this unconscious release is very deep, very difficult to release. until you are very quiet in your sleep, then it will manifest. Then through dreams, but then later on the dream will change. There are many, many types of transformation as you go in. So initially, like you have total control of the dream, like you know you are dreaming. You have that understanding. Your nature knows this is a dream. So you can do a lot of things. But that one will pass. That one is the early phase. Then later on, your consciousness will transform. Then the dream will become more and more, I should say, the deeper subconscious leading to the unconscious. Then to release all this is not easy. Because once this one come out, you are not able to become aware that you are in the dream initially. But later on, when your wisdom arises and you understand all this, then this one slowly, slowly like become very fine and disappear. Then like no more, gone. That's why it continue to evolve and go in. Very good, Sadhu. You continue to describe your dream.
Yeah. 我过后我就 realize 想我讲，要不是我们，如果我们没有去 release 这些 subconscious 的这个 fear， 它就会很像一个那个那个炸弹这样子，就在你的 deep conscious 里面。
It's the anusaya, latent tendency deep inside
the. 然后它就变成
still manifest.
它变成那个 habitual， 然后我才知道以前我一直很多的那个fear。一直 arise， 然后我一直跟人家讲，我也不知道为什么我会有这样多的 fear。后来通过了这个 dreams 了一出来，我才知道，哦，原来我们的 subconscious 里面的这个 seed， 它的这个 seed， 它 become as a habitual 的，一直在让你一直在里面的一直去react， then it become as 一个 karmic 来的。
对 ，it's a release。
如果我们没有 release 的话，它就很像一个 comic， 这样在里面一直
yeah.
我们就一直在里面一直 react
latent inside there, it cannot come out, it cannot come out, but it's still there. That's why you cannot root out that type of subconscious fear and the unconscious fear. That one is very deep. But you will come to understand all this as you cultivate. Then you have to stabilize the awareness nature. Otherwise, all this cannot come out. All this cannot happen. Very good, Sadhu. Continue.
Then after 这个 dreams 的两个礼拜过后哦，因为我发现到我在 daily 里面，我比没有这样多的 chatting mind 了，就 most of the time 是 silent。And then 我也没有那种 fear 的那种那种习惯呐。以前哦，一点点你的 reaction 就是 fear， 一点点就是 fear。
Correct. Yes.Very
but
good.
现在就没有了 but most of the time 就是 silent 这样子
correct that's why you can see the transformation happening after you start to slowly develop the understanding to root out all this subconscious and unconscious fear then you become different again then nothing can really affect you on the surface or superficial level the conscious level you already break free butAt the subconscious, unconscious, there are still layers of this type of thing that we need to root out. So all these are possible. Very good, Sadhu.
所以现在变成我在迪利，我也发现到，只要我没有做东西，我一 silent 坐住的话，我就很容易的 aware 到我的那个 heart area 的这个 vibration。来，我刚才在 restaurant 吃 dinner 的时候，我 after order 我一坐，after 我 order 了那个 food， 我坐在那边，我整个人就一直在那边，就一直这样子 vibrating。我发现到现在，只要我一 silent 坐下来，就是一直这样子。
Your awareness has become more stable and more refined, and you are more sensitive. That's why at all time you can be aware of your heartbeat, your nature there. So you will stay there. That's why you will act from there, think from there, do things from there, everything from there, from your nature you manifest. Then later on when you share, you don't use memory anymore. You straight from your heart, you share. Because the Dhamma, the understanding that is already there, is always there. You won't lose it. You don't have to remember anything. When the causes and conditions arise, you will know how to reply. You will know how to explain things because it has become an understanding that is always with you. It's not a knowledge. That's why you don't have to carry them on your brain, your memory. You don't have to remember them. That's why whatever you ask me, there and then I can explain. And if I don't know beyond my knowledge or wisdom or understanding, I admit this is not my field. I cannot explain to you certain field that I don't know. I have to tell you I don't know. Because ours is spiritual. If it's non-spiritual thing, people ask me, if I can understand, I will explain. But if I feel that it's beyond what I can understand, it's not my specialty, my field, I can't. It's just like vaccine, medicine, or I can't because this is not spiritual. These are scientific. So scientific has its own understanding. But even as a spiritual cultivator with this type of spiritual understanding, and basically I'm a civil engineer, a technical person, I realize most of the thing I can relate to and understand much faster and deeper than normal people. Even though they may be specialists in their own field and all those things, but they don't understand the totality of it, the whole movement behind. So in that aspect, they are very knowledgeable in that specialization. So they have their limitation. That's why they also have suffering and misery. But for us, with a spiritual understanding, we can gain all this knowledge, so-called knowledge or understanding of the scientific world and of the AI, IT, everything. But yet, we are not entangled. We will know how to use it, but not deceived by it. So that is the difference. That is the beauty. Very good. Sadhu, eh? Anything else?
最后我要谢谢 Baradil 你的 Dharma 你的 guidance 我最近一直觉得很奇怪就是我这个 form and mind 还是一样 but 那个 understanding 不一样
对
那个 mindset 也不一样那个 mindfulness
you know?
所以你整个的那种understanding 看事情开始不一样了
不一样了 because your vibration, your consciousness, your pure nature become very different and from there you become different. That's why it's the wisdom and the transformation of pure consciousness. That's why that pure nature very important. Once that one move in through the gateway, your whole nature transform.And that one, the thought-based meditation cannot touch, cannot even go near. How can they develop that type of understanding and wisdom? No way. They have a lot of Dharma knowledge, but not wisdom. The real wisdom, not easy. You are right. Very good. Sadhu to you. Sadhu.
就像刚才我在听Baradil 你在做 sharing 的时候 Baradil 以前我每次听你的 sharing 我就会就整个的去睡下去我刚才是哇那个 heart 一直 vibrating 一直很像跟你的那个你的声音的那个 vibration 一直 synchronize 两个一直在一直很像一起共振
对the joy the understanding the joy、
对所以我就想哇我都是这个 form and mind 还是一样有时候我那天我回 office 要跟我讲我还是一样啊每天还要去上班
yeah,
还是
form and mind is a form and mind nothing has changed but understanding the wisdom the transformation of that pure consciousness the stability of that true mind the awareness nature has changed that is the only thing that changed and without that one your wisdom cannot come out your understanding cannot unfoldThat's why when the understanding, you remember the triangle, the pure consciousness, you go the left hand side, direct seeing, you stabilize your awareness and silence your mind, and through the direct seeing, you awaken, you insight into phenomena, you develop all the wisdom. So the wisdom at the left hand side, connect to the form and mind, you become enlightened. So this enlightenment is supported by the wisdom. So this is the noble life, the base there, the noble life. Whereas the one on the right-hand slope of the triangle, from the pure awareness and the consciousness, with the sense bases down there on the right, the forming mind, they create mundane consciousness to live the mundane life. That's why that one is the fire aggregate forming mind. Affliction, suffering, the fundamental truth, everything is there. That is the condition of mundane living. Whereas the super mundane living is when the wisdom is developed from the base ego. So that's how you come to the understanding. That's why that triangle explains everything. Nothing has changed. My form and my, your form and my, and other people's form and my, no different. The only difference is the understanding behind the wisdom. You are no longer deluded because of the wisdom. And the wisdom comes from the direct seeing, the pure nature, the awakening. So that is the one that transforms. And after that one arises, transform, when we can locate our nature, our consciousness transforms. The pure nature, the pure mind, the pure awareness, the vibration becomes so fine. Then later on, when you reach that level of stability and fineness, your mundane mind will start to slowly collapse. At that time, it's the most beautiful. When you can do that, you are beautiful. Then you stabilize everything really. Then from there, you become very different. Yeah. When the mundane mind collapses, the nature shines forth. Technically, you don't need to meditate. You don't need to do anything. But there is nothing to cloud you. You are just there all the time. You can say that is the Buddha nature. But the difference between the great things and the Buddha is the all-knowing, the Sammasambuddha, who's the nine great virtues. The Sammasambuddha has perfected it. But the great being, normal being, they may have this, but they have not perfected the whole thing. That's the only difference. Okay, very good. Sadhu, thank you.
Yeah, sadhu very dear.
Yeah, sadhu. So let us rejoice. Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sadhu.
We are 10:33 already. So once again, we should thank Brother Song for creating the good condition for all this deeper understanding to arise, so that this sharing can help many cultivators along the way later on.